This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because I have a choice to rejoice. Amen? Would you grab your swords this morning and turn to the book of Revelations in chapter 12? How many of y'all are new in Christ today?
Amen.
Then you're new. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory. Revelation 12. You know, there are so many things going on, and there's so many theories, and there's so many assumptions. Many people believe that that Revelation is past. There's organizations that preach it's past. There's organizations that really don't know what they're preaching in the area of what's going on. You know, you can preach prosperity, and there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. But we also need to preach what Christ has done to get prosperity.
Amen.
Amen. Because the greatest prosperity you could have is the riches of Christ. The greatest prosperity you and I can have is God's presence in relationship. That is prosperity. Anything else is vain. It's temporary. And it really means nothing to the eyes of God. Nothing. But as long as we can take that prosperity and use it to expand the kingdom of God, then it means something. Other than that, it means nothing. Amen? And in these times that we are in, there is so much area, and you can look, if you've turned on the TV, you see people selling their integrity for money, eating worms. I mean, there's all kinds of flicks on TV where people are just doing the strangest things for money, because money is being promoted so much. False prosperity is being promoted. Of course it's being promoted. Why? Because they took away much of the money. So now they're going to try and promote things, but the purpose of promotion is to deceive. The purpose of promotion is to mislead. So people are getting caught up in that arena. You know, much of the middle class is being dispersed. Actually, what's beginning to manifest more and more and more is we're seeing the difference and the separation, that there'll be more poor and there'll be more wealthy. More poor or more wealthy. And of course, that's what Satan's kingdom wants to promote. And in this, I want to share again in the book of Revelation in chapter 12 the essence, because I want to talk a little bit today about the beast. The beast. You know, we've heard about the mark of the beast. We've heard about the image of the beast. We've heard all about the beasts. And there is a beast man. He is called Antichrist. And in the book of Revelation in chapter 12 in verse 7, it says, "War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan." So they're all one, aren't they? "Who deceives the whole world." He deceives the whole world. And he continues to deceive. And he will continue to deceive the whole world until he is destroyed. Bottom line. It says he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast with him. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.' And it says, 'And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death.'" Here's something very powerful in this next verse. It says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, for you who dwell in them." There's something that occurred. "But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." I want you to understand that this short time he will have is 3.5 years. And because he knows he will have 3.5 years, he will come down with great wrath. And if you turn to the book of Revelation, this great wrath is a representation of great tribulation. And in Matthew 24, in verse 3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." Okay, so again, the end of the age does not mean the end of the world. It means the end of the age of grace. That is an age. It's called the age of grace. And the age of grace is God's plan to what? Grace is God's plan to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. So even though that this will be great, there'll be great tribulation known as the wrath of the devil, it's also associated with God's wrath, because who's he going to use? Amen. In verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, which we're hearing right now. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Again, nation means ethnic group. We are seeing much racialism expand, and it's not because of man, it's because of the influence of darkness. And those who are servants of darkness, they're promoting it, blaming it, making it a cause. And kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, which we are in now. We are in the beginning of sorrows. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. So tribulation is the next event that is going to be fulfilled. And they will attempt to kill you. They will hate you for my name's sake. And many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. These are many religions, many false prophets. There's people going around calling themselves Jesus. They're promoting stuff. They're marking themselves with 666. There's a bunch of idiots out there that are demonized individuals trying to express themselves as Jesus. But in true reality, they're false prophets. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who overcomes to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This abomination is when the Antichrist, Lucifer himself, will walk into the temple and proclaim himself as God. And this will be in the middle of tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. And they will know, because even the Jews know that a man cannot step into that temple, but the Messiah himself. Let him who is on a housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be what? Great tribulation. Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. This great tribulation is what we were just talking about the book of Revelations in chapter 12, where the devil will come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short, and that will be 3.5 years. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So we see that there's the beginning of sorrow, there's tribulation, and then great tribulation. And the Antichrist, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, he will come in the middle of this tribulation, go into the temple and proclaim himself as God, and great wrath will come forth for the next 3.5 years. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the beast man. Again, we don't do Bible studies, we do training sessions. But we use the Bible because it's the book of truth. It tells us things that were, that are, and are to come, because it was written by the Holy Spirit. So all things that you and I need to know pertaining to life are in this word. And anything that's not written in this word is in the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can be led by the Holy Spirit. It's hard to interpret this word without the Holy Spirit. That's why many people don't understand it. So they just speak, they teach out of a book without no spiritual interpretation, but carnal interpretation. Or everybody would be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we wouldn't have so much division in the body of Christ. There wouldn't be any denominations. We'd all be one. There wouldn't be a battle. Who's better? Who knows more? Which is nothing but carnality. None of that stuff would be manifesting. There would be a unified body, just like Jesus was one with the Father. So would the kingdom of God be here in the body of Christ, all unified. And I believe we're getting there. Usually disasters have to break out for the body to come together. So you can expect a big disaster to break out for everyone to come together. In the book of Genesis in chapter 2 and verse 19, would you read it with me? And out of the ground the Lord God formed every what? Beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. I want you to grab hold of this, because Lucifer, when we just read, was removed from the throne room of God. He was removed from heaven, right? He was sentenced to the earth. He was sent to the earth and its atmosphere. So now God takes man from the earth and creates man. He breathes in him his breath, his presence. Adam was an eternal being. Adam was now the ruler of the earth. That means Lucifer had to submit to Adam. Lucifer actually had to serve Adam. He was probably in the garden tilling for him. Oh. Now, I want you to know that all the animals were brought to Adam to name. I truly believe Adam called Lucifer serpent. I believe that he named him serpent. Why? Because in the area that Adam knew what Lucifer did, and Adam's relationship with the Lord, looking at Lucifer, looked at him as he acknowledged him as a beast and named him serpent. Does everybody understand that? Why? Adam ruled the earth. He could name anyone. He could change their names. Now, Lucifer was still Lucifer, but in Adam's territory, I believe he was called serpent. Now go to Genesis 3 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the serpent was what? More cunning than what? Any beast. So the serpent was the beast. Now, beasts are associated here as fallen angels. A beast here is considered a fallen angel. They were known as beasts because of their rebellion towards God. And now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." So he called God a liar, didn't he? That's why he's known as a beast. Hallelujah. In the book of Ezekiel 28, now remember, he was the most cunning beast. Has everybody got this? So God acknowledged him as a beast. I believe he acknowledges all fallen angels as beasts. But Adam named this beast serpent. Serpent in representation of his kingdom. It will be a kingdom of serpents. Has everybody got that? It will be a kingdom of what? Serpents. Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel 28. Is everybody there? In verse 12. And this is where it's explained about Lucifer. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God." So Ezekiel was speaking who Lucifer was. It says, "You are the seal of what? Perfection." Well, we know no man was perfection, right? Except for Jesus. "Full of wisdom." That's why he's known as the most cunning beast. "And perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." Hello. "Every precious stone was your covering." Now, I believe Lucifer was in the garden of God before Adam was, because Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. The earth was known as the mountain of God. And I believe that Lucifer and the angels were also associated with the garden until Lucifer was removed. The earth was shut down. Everything was destroyed. Might have been the ice age at that time. And then the Lord decided to restore the earth when the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the earth, and he began to restore things. So that means that if he was restoring things, then the garden was being restored also. Because the word "let there be" means restore. It does not mean to be create. So the Lord said, "Let there be light." In other words, he was removing what was hindering the light to bring restoration. The only thing he spoke about creating was animals, amen, and man. And it says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." So he's speaking before the destruction, before the earth of chaos. The sardius, topaz, diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers the earth with praise. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, which was the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, Lucifer saw all creation. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So again, this is when Lucifer was removed from the presence of God. He was taken from his authority as praise and worship leader, and the earth was shut down. And that's where we have this time span between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Where it's, because when God creates something, he doesn't create it void. He creates it with purpose and complete. Amen. So we see there in Genesis 3 when the Lord said, you know, you're the most cunning beast. He was the most cunning beast. The serpent was the most cunning beast because he was full of wisdom. I also believe that the Bible says that even the, Satan comes as an angel of light. So we see that they can shift. They can change. They're called shapeshifters also. Angels can change themselves. The word tells us you never know who you're entertaining. But they will not put on flesh. Because if a fallen angel puts on flesh, he'll be bound instantly. That's why even when Lucifer puts on flesh, he will be bound for 1,000 years. So we see here that he is the beast man. Is everybody with me? In 1 John chapter 2. Now we know that there is the spirit of Antichrist, and then there is the Antichrist. And you got to understand, the spirit of Antichrist are demonic spirits that were rebellious towards God. Because where did these spirits come from? Well, they came from the angels that put on flesh, took women, produced offsprings. Their intents were constantly evil and rebellious towards God. So these demonic spirits are spirits of Antichrist. Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 18, would you read it with me? Little children, it is the last hour, and if you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. That's the person, the beast man. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they were not of us, that they might be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So he was saying there that there'll be many who are still bound by the spirit of Antichrist that can only sustain so long. Eventually, there'll be a limitation that they can only handle, and they begin to run because they cannot handle the presence of God. But there is the Antichrist himself who will come. Amen? And the Antichrist spirits and the Antichrist is the person, individual. The Antichrist spirits are the spirits. They are the demonic spirits. Is everybody with me? And again, we see that the beast is associated with fallen angels. These are fallen angels, Satan's kingdom. These are not the ones that put on flesh and went into women. They are chained up right now. But these are other angels that have fallen with Lucifer, because remember, he took a third of the angels with them. They are now principalities. They rule over nations and countries and so forth. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and Daniel was visited by an angel, Michael. I believe it was Michael or Archangel. Anyways, by a revelation angel. And he was spoken to him so that he can get understanding. In verse 23, it says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. In verse 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish a transgression and make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Of course, we know they're talking about Jesus, aren't they? Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in a wall, and even in troublesome times. Then after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So who is he cut off for? Me and you. He will be crucified. And the people of the Prince who is to come, which means the prince of power of air, the beast man, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then it says that he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. We have not seen this covenant come forth yet. This seven-year covenant is called tribulation. It'll be a seven-year tribulation. It says, and in the middle of the week, he shall break an end to the sacrifice and offering. That's when the abomination comes. That's when he steps in and stops everything and proclaims himself as God. This is the beast man. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolation, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So again, in this, the seven-year treaty will be called tribulations. The first 3.5 years will be called tribulation. The second 3.5 years will be called great tribulation. Again, we are in the beginning of the sorrows. The next event that will start is tribulation. Now, I want to talk about some of the things. You know, one of the things that we've got to understand is everything that you and I are hearing about is associated with the Middle East. Everything that's going on is the Middle East. Daniel lived in the Middle East. Everything, Israel, Jerusalem, everything is associated with the Middle East and the time sequence. So Jerusalem, Israel is the time clock of every event and everything that goes on. Now, there are certain things that the Antichrist, the beast man, he will do. He will form a final empire of the end of age. He will form the final empire of the end of age. It'll be known as the Eighth Kingdom. And I'm not going to go there tonight, but he will establish a seven-year treaty with Israel. He eventually will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem because he will go in and destroy it. He will be involved in the final battle of Armageddon, and he will control all the rich oil of the Gulf and much of Europe. He will bring peace to his followers and death to refuse to follow him. In the book of Revelation in chapter 11, he will also hold back all kinds of food, water, and everything that he can to cause people to accept him and his mark so that they cannot buy or sell without receiving the mark. Remember, he is the master of deception. People will take the mark just to get food and will be eternally condemned. The word says that people will throw their gold and silver in the streets and it will mean nothing, because money will mean nothing then. Only because one of the things that he will change, he will control all government, one world order, all religion, and all economy, one world economy. He will set up the economy so that no one can buy or sell without receiving the mark. That's his economy. In Revelation 11, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? In verse 1 and 2, it says, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, or actually Satan's kingdom. They will tread the holy city underfoot for how many months? 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Does everybody see that? And I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's also 3.5 years. These are the two oil trees and two lampstands standing before the God of earth. So what's going to happen is the two witnesses will be here during that period of time. They will see Jerusalem be trampled upon and taken over, but they will be confessing and decreeing the word of the Lord to the world. See, the world will be watching Jerusalem be trampled. But they'll constantly, these prophets will be appearing everywhere and decreeing. So there'll be a news person. They'll be out there going, hey, look at this. And this is channel 29 here at Jerusalem watching the destruction and the turnover. And all of a sudden two prophets will appear and give a word. And nothing will interfere. They can't hold it back. They can't erase it. They'll appear and declare the word. Repent. So we see here this will be, Jerusalem will be invaded, and they will trample it for that fight will continue for 3.5 years. Is everybody okay? Then eventually, in Revelation 13, in verse 11, would you read it with me? Then I saw a what? Another beast. What's the beast represent? Fallen angel. Has everybody got it? Coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he exercises what? All authority of the first beast, in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be what? Killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the beast. And of course, here is the wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, we know that Greek Arabic 666 is translated into his name is Allah, worship Allah. It's one of the translations. Go to Revelation 17. Yes, 666 means in the name of Allah. In verse 8, it says here that the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the what? Bottomless pit and go to perdition. Is everybody there? And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth. Now, wait a minute. Why are their names not written in the book of life? Because they received a mark and instantly was removed. See, because if you read one of the letters that was sent to the churches, it says, if you'll do this, I will not blot your name out. Why? Because it's the day that you die that you give up your last breath, whether your name stays in or out. Or children wouldn't go home, would they? Because their name, everyone's name is written in the book of life when they enter the earth, when they enter this realm. But there's two things that remove your name. And in that, if you receive the mark of the beast while you're still hid, your name is removed. There is no turning around. Or if you die in sin, then your name is removed also. So why do you think the devil wants to kill people in sin? And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is to come. And in this we see that this beast, this image will be established and people will begin to worship it. He talks about the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And in the book of Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians verse 2, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. In verse 3 it says something very powerful. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the what? Son of what? Perdition. So who is he talking about? He's talking about the beast, isn't he? He will be revealed. And it says then, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Mr. Deception himself. And he said, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. So what's restraining him from being revealed? We are the presence of the body of Christ. So understand that he cannot take that step until you and I are taken out of the way. He can't. Now we will be exposing him because we will know, but he won't be revealed. He'll still be blinded to the world unless you and I tell him. Hallelujah. In verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed once you and I are out of the way. That's called rapture, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, the beast, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deceptions. Isn't unrighteous deceptions being promoted everywhere? Listen, if you think that the Kardashians are a holy family, you're deceived. And I encourage you, if you're associated with that channel, destroy your TV. Because it definitely has dominion over you. With all unrighteous deceptions among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Again, you and I are not accounted for the wrath of God. That's what grace is for. Grace, the plan of grace, God's plan for me and you, so that we would know truth to escape the deception. Why? Because if you're caught up in the deception, you will get caught up in the wrath of God. Because that's what rules. Doesn't deception rule the earth? And it's controlled by fear. Deception is destroyer. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. And in Revelation chapter 9, the beast man, and there will be many that will come in. They will begin to take over. Fallen angels will begin to come forth. We see they're trying to come forth now through aliens. They call themselves aliens, so man's deceived. To produce in hybrids and so forth. That's why there's abductions and things of that degree. But remember, Satan has technology. Amen? He uses music. Music. Think about music. Music. Lucifer was a praise and worship leader of music. He knows how to infiltrate and change the grab hold of a soul. You know, just because the words change doesn't mean the intent doesn't. I'm telling you, rap is from hell. It promotes self. It promotes division. I don't care what the words say. I don't care if it's a message. Because once a person has heard a certain music, it reflects to its source. So you can change and erase the words, but the intent of that music is still there. Same thing with rock, Christian rock and everything else. All of this Christian rap, all of this Christian stuff. And these individuals have an intent, but you know what? It's all outer court. I can't see somebody rapping in the glory of God. The only rapping they might do is when the glory of God hits them and they go, oh! Casting those demons out of them. I can't see somebody playing the guitar and swinging her head up and down in the glory of God. Just can't see it. The only thing I can see is somebody flat on their face going, holy, 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 because I can't say another word. Hallelujah. See, that music keeps people in the outer court. It doesn't bring people in the presence of God, because it's the presence of God that changes me and you. So you got all these rap Christians. Hey, praise God. I mean, deception is deception. I'm not saying they're bad people. They may come out with a great message, but it's the intent of that music. Where's the source of that music? Where did that rhythm and beat come from? Well, the words were changed, but the rhythm and beat came from hell. So the intent is still there. Anyways, we got a whole teaching on that coming. With video. Hallelujah. Did we finish what we were finishing? Revelation 9. Praise God. Thank you. Oh, check this out. So when the prophets, when they get done prophesying and so forth, all right, they're going to be killed. God's going to allow them to be killed. In verse 7, it says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. The two. Who? The two prophets. It took a whole beast to come against the two prophets and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. I think it's pretty wild that the two prophets will be there also, where the Lord was crucified. Jesus rose from the dead, and so will these two prophets rise. And those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days, just like it will fulfill 3.5 years. In their 3.5 days. And not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves because they want to gloat over what they've done. Look at what we've done. We've killed God's prophets. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Why? Because their name's written, been erased from being written in the book of life because they've received the mark. And they will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts like Santa Claus, like Christmas, to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Man, why? Because truth torments darkness. It says, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. And great fear fell on all those who saw it. You betcha. You can't kill life. See, you can't kill life. Once God's created something, only He can remove it, kill it. He can end it. But you can't kill life. Life is eternal. He is the life giver, the life holder, and life Himself. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here, for they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies passed out." And their enemies saw it. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake. Doesn't it sound like the resurrection of Jesus? And a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe passed. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. In Matthew 24, now the bottomless pit beast is Apollyon, which means destroyer. They nicknamed one of our shuttles Apollo. Think about it. I don't think that one lasted too long, did it? It was an offering to them. See, they have to offer humans to succeed. They have to offer blood to succeed. Bloodshed opens dimensional ports for them. Where human blood is shed, a port will open because it's been caused by them. Look at what happened at 9/11. That was brought down by Satan's kingdom. God allowed it. He knew it, and He used it to bring judgment to America. But what was built after it? Look at the tower. It's an offering to Islam. It's a crowning. That whole tower is a representation of the crowning of Apollyon. That's what that whole thing. There's a Muslim mosque there. There's Mecca has been duplicated right there. Why? Because Islam is Satan's military. It's his religion. In fact, the Mahdi, who is their Messiah, is actually the Antichrist in our Bible. And in Matthew 24, verse 23, it says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." Now, why would Jesus tell them this? And I'm going to explain. Look, he is in the desert. Well, when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit where? Into the desert. By who? The beast. Has everybody got it? Now, I want you to understand that in Islam, in the Quran, their Mahdi, their Messiah, is supposed to be in a cave in the desert, waiting. He's supposed to be protected by two jinns, which are actually called genies.
Hello.
Maybe they rubbed their mouth. Give little Allah a couple of wishes. Actually, when all of this was going on and Islam first started and so forth, they used to have in Mecca this black rock that they worshipped, and they put a cube over it, and then they put 600 idols on it, and they used to worship all these gods. So this is why Jesus was saying, "Don't go to the desert," because he knew what their belief was. He knew the time and season that Islam would become more and more in control. So everybody got it. So he said, "Don't go to the desert if they call you to the desert," because that's where the Mahdi was supposed to be. But we know he's not there. Amen? He is the beast Antichrist, Islam's Messiah. And let's go a little further. It says, verse 27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, their eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation in those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken, and of course the Lord will return." In verse 36, I'm going to go there for a moment, it says something very powerful. It says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now again, the days of Noah, when the flood came, is because beasts ruled the earth. Amen? According to Genesis 6, if you want to go there for a second, we'll review this. And what are beasts? Fallen angels, right? Beasts and their offsprings. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." So this is where, in the book of Enoch, it talks about it, around 200 angels of Satan's kingdom, put on flesh, came into the realm. Why? Because they were trying to destroy the seed of God from coming in. So they were going to create their own race. "And the Lord said, My spirit will not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. Those giants were fallen angels. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters." So then afterwards, when the sons of God, the angels, took on wives, produced offsprings, sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And those were called Nephilims. "They were mighty men who were of old, men of renown." That's where you got the mythical theology of Zeus and all the other religions were Aphrodites and all these other things that Methuselah, I guess that's what it was, whatever. But anyways, all these gods and goddesses, that's where you had. I mean, you go to Russia, you see statues of Gog and Magog. I mean, look at all of our government official things. There's always satanic rituals in every building. There's some kind of a picture of some kind of god or goddess that was from one of the giants or the Nephilims or the fallen angels. Every building has one. Because that's who's the ruler of this earth, Satan. Look on your money. It's got the all-seeing eye. Hello? It's got the pyramid. That pyramid is associated with 666 also, Satan's kingdom. Now, even Illuminati is deceived. Do you understand that? The Illuminati is associated with the enlightened ones. They believe that they are the enlightened ones that God has given them to rule the earth. Now, I'm not saying that some of them are totally, I mean, most of them are all demonized and so forth, and they worship Satan and whatever, but they've been promised eternal life with Satan, with fame and fortune here, and they will be the first ones that will be, they will realize that they will be destroyed by Satan himself. Yes, so Rockefeller, wake up. Hallelujah. Yes, you will die unless you come to Jesus. So we know that there will be the time of the days of Noah. In those days of Noah, these angels came in, produced offsprings. They were Nephilims, they were giants, and that's why God eventually destroyed the whole earth, because every intent of man was evil. Why? Because the DNA of human DNA, Adam and Eve's eternal DNA, was altered by their fall. Human DNA took over, and then what occurred was Satan's kingdom, when they came in and put on flesh and produced offsprings, the DNA was altered. It was destroyed. The only true DNA that was left was Noah and his family. Now, I want you to understand that we have another DNA now. We have a DNA that is eternal. Has everybody got it? We have a DNA that's eternal now. That's why only the true eternal DNA can enter the eternal port. Anything altered cannot enter. Nothing. So our DNA allows us access through the port home. Our DNA is the ticket that gets us on the flight out of here. The DNA that Jesus has placed in me and you. So it's his DNA. That's why Jesus said, no man comes to the Father unless he comes through me. And no man comes to the Father unless he's been called. But so many people have altered the DNA of Jesus. See, we alter that DNA by contamination. We alter it by sin. So if a person is in Christ, but chooses to live in sin, that DNA is altered and cannot access or go through that eternal port. Only the true DNA can go through. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Revelation 12. Is everybody okay? The beast man. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's speak it together. "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted a woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, Who is this woman? We are. Hello, we are the bride of Christ. Now watch this. Where she is nourished for times and half times. That's 3.5 years. From the presence of the serpent. So you and I will be removed from the presence of the serpent for 3.5 years. That's mid-trib, isn't it? So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now it says something powerful. It says that the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. These two wings are called Moses and Elijah. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Now, of course, in verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offsprings who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, there will be many who will be left behind, and they will be Christians that didn't receive a mark, but their DNA was altered. By what? Sin. And when they realize that everyone else is gone, and they're the ones that are left behind, they're going to get their DNA right. But they will be persecuted. They'll either be beheaded or starved to death or somehow survive until the Lord returns. This is called the great wrath. This is great tribulation here. When the serpent comes down to cause great wrath, that's great tribulation. There'll be multitude of beasts beginning to form and come forth from the sea, from the land, from the air. But again, you and I will escape the beast man and his beasts. And Daniel chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, at that time, Michael the archangel shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of the people of Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. It's called great tribulation. At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of these who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words of the seal and book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So we see that in this great tribulation, Archangel Michael will war. They will war like we talked about in the book of Revelation. And something powerful is going to happen, because you and I will come. We will return with the day of the Lord in Ezekiel or Zechariah 14, if you'll go there, please. Zechariah 14, in verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the woman ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. That's when it will be trotted by the Gentiles, it says, for 3.5 years. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all his saints with you. This is when we come. And shall come to pass in that day, and there will be no light, the lights will diminish. It shall be one day when is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half towards the western sea. And both summer and winter shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall be the Lord is one and his name one. And I want to close at the book of Revelation, chapter 20. So we have the victory. But we see that things have occurred and things are happening. We know that insignias are on money and all kinds of things that's going on. Again, when they put up the towers, I mean the Freedom Tower and the signing that we would rebuild. And all of that was a purpose of crowning Apollyon and preparing for his resurrection, his return. But see, we know those things because we have the anointing who tells us all things. And without the anointing, we're lost. In Revelation 20 and verse 1, would you read the first three verses with me? Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, why did he bind him? What did he do? Put on flesh. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years was finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus. Those were the ones that were left behind or found out the truth. And for the word of God, who did not worship the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. So there'll be a resurrection after 1,000 years. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's when the Lord will fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, where we will reign for 1,000 years. Now, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. So this is an area that we are in preparation. We know what's going on. You know, God gives us wisdom. We see everything being fulfilled in prophecy, falling, unfolding right before us. The next feast that will be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets, and that will be the removal of the body of Christ. So that means we can expect tribulation to start very soon. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, help us get our houses in order. Get our temples in order in preparation. Help us, Lord, to surrender all for this last move, that souls may be rescued, that we may be accounted worthy to escape your wrath. Help us to understand, to know, and to prepare, that we may be an extension of your voice, your presence, and your hand to help those that are in need and calling out on you. So, Lord, bring revival. Start it right with us here. Revive us. Purify our hearts. Cleanse our spirit. Cleanse our hands. Renew in us the mind of Christ and set our steps according to your will and your way, letting your kingdom be manifested in us and through us, that you may receive all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.